Hi, Carla. Thank you for joining us today.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
Of course. Well, let's start by having you tell us, what is your role at the UNM Health Sciences Center?
I'm an occupational therapist by profession, and I teach at UNM in the Occupational Therapy Graduate Program.
And you're calling on New Mexicans to participate in a survey you're conducting titled Effects of the COVID-19 Health Emergency on the Biopsychological Health of Rural Residents of New Mexico Using Mixed Methods. A long name for a short survey. Please, could you tell us the purpose of the survey, what you plan to do with the information, and how this will benefit New Mexicans?
Well, the purpose of the survey is really to collect the stories of New Mexicans about how life was before the COVID pandemic, and also how things, if things changed after the pandemic caused us to lock down as a state. And I'm hoping that what we learn from the communities will give us some information that we can both share with our community and also figure out, are there any things that we can do going forward to protect and preserve our quality of life during these kind of super events?
Yes, and you do call it a quality of life survey, and you have questions like, how much do you enjoy life, and to what extent do you feel life to be meaningful? Was there anything that you're seeing in the daily life of New Mexicans that led you to want to conduct this survey?
Well, as an occupational therapist, my central work is making sure that people are participating in daily life at their best. And when we went into lockdown, my own life was disrupted. The life of my friends and neighbors were disrupted. And I really became concerned about how people were coping and how they were handling maybe being isolated or being concerned about family. And so those kinds of things that would impact on quality of life.
Okay, and so if I'm a New Mexican wanting to take the survey, what would I get out of it?
I think the opportunity to contribute to the story of how our state, the people living in our state, have coped, have found purpose or meaning for some people, how some folks have struggled and continue to struggle because we're not out of the woods yet, but that they have that opportunity to participate in creating this story of how people went through this unprecedented event and not having other people tell us, how we are experiencing it.
All right. And are there any participant requirements for the survey itself?
The only real requirement is that you be an adult over the age of 18. And other than that, it's open to all people. Because we did not have a medical translator for other languages, we do need people that can converse in English or read English.
Okay, great. And what is your goal for the total of number for participants in the survey?
We're hoping that at least 300 people, both in the rural and urban area, will participate in the survey, and then that we have at least 30 people in rural New Mexico and 30 people in the urban areas to give a more in-depth insight to their daily life experience during the COVID pandemic. The more people that share their story, the stronger confidence we can have in the information.
And how do people go about sharing their story, just to be clear?
Yeah. Well, if folks could participate, we're hoping to get as many responses by March 1st. And people can participate either by mail, by phone, or online.
Great. Yeah, because I took the survey and I noticed, you can take the questions online and there's an option to be reached out further. And I'm guessing you're kind of really hoping people are selecting that option to be sought out after the initial questions.
Absolutely. Yes. So it only takes about maybe 10 minutes to fill out the online survey if you follow the link. And then you can leave just some contact information for us, and we will call and set up a time to talk more in depth about your story at a time that's convenient to you.
Can you reach out pretty quickly after the survey's filled out?
Yes. I have a team of colleagues of about four or five colleagues that are dialing the phone or connecting with people through Zoom, or even, as I said, being able to send out the survey through the mail.
So how has the turnout been so far, though?
It's really starting to accelerate. I think earlier, like maybe during the summer, I think there was kind of a sense that we were, maybe we would continue to have our lives disrupted maybe into the fall, maybe we would be able to have Christmas together. I think the blunt reality of it has hit us that we've got a lot longer to go, and we're going to be called upon as neighbors and family members and community members to hang in there longer, to isolate longer. And I think it's hard to do that.
Yes, I recall, almost a year ago when we were saying, well, can't wait till this is all over by Easter.
Right. And I have to say, despite being a healthcare professional, I knew it would be serious, but I had never been through something like this before, like any of us. And it really did shock me and kind of disrupt my own life.
Are you able to speak to what direction the results are showing at the moment?
Well, I'm blind to the results. So I don't know. I can say from the people that I have personally interviewed that some people feel like their lives are better, in the sense that they have had to kind of have that gut check of saying, this is what's meaningful to me. It's not necessarily this job, that I've been devoting my life to, but it's more about the people I love or the faith that I have spiritually. And some people, especially people that are living alone, are definitely struggling with depression and just having a harder time than some of us that share our homes with family or roommates, or, being alone is hard.
From your in-person interviews, have you seen or are you able to speak to kind of a shift in tone from how we were speaking earlier, from when you started that out to through the holidays to where we're at now?
I'd say the earlier interviews, we were all, I think, in the same sense of feeling like it was more novel. We were really busy trying to learn some new daily routines and taking more walks and spending more time, maybe in the garden and those kinds of hobbies and things. I think now that it has stretched into the winter, and we're seeing that we're losing more of our people that we care about. I think less of us are untouched by knowing people that have been affected personally by COVID. And I think that it's just been a sobering realization that there's a lot at stake for all of us, living here in New Mexico.
Yes, and I imagine just the shift in the seasons really kind of pairing with the length of time everything's going on it's just the icing on the cake for the direction you're seeing there.
Exactly, and that we still have more time in front of us to be impacted.
Now, when is the deadline for participants to take part in a survey?
The funding that I have available to support the study goes through March. So the more people that could respond by March 1st, the more people will be able to collect their information about how they're experiencing their quality of life, and also to conduct those more in-depth interviews.
And from the March 1st participant deadline, when would you expect to see your conclusions from the survey?
I think by the end of March, I will have assistance from the university to transform the data and analyze all of the information and see what the major themes are from the interviews, as well as kind of get that temperature really of how people are feeling about their quality of life overall.
So how can New Mexicans go about participating in the survey?
Well, as we said before, online, by mail, by phone. I think the quickest way to get in touch with me might be by phone. And my phone number is 505-272-3324. And certainly they can email me here at the university at cwilhite@salud.unm.edu.
Fantastic. And we'll be able to make sure to be able to make that available on the website for our listeners. I understand you are providing some incentive to encourage more participants. Could you tell us a little more about that?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. People can enter a drawing for a $75 gift card. We'll have two of those to give away. Actually, I should say they're merchandise cards. We expect to hold the drawing by the March 1st date and get those out to a few lucky folks.
Excellent. So, well, if you're listening, you better get on it. So before we part ways, we'd love to hear about your experience in your field and your capacity from, you know, before and during the COVID-19 public health emergency to where we are now.
You know, in March, I was teaching class with 30 bright, young, intelligent graduate students in person, in the classroom, you know, with all the good things that go along with that. And after spring break, I was teaching only online, and it was a Herculean task in a week to move from being an in-person class to an online class. And I think it was hard for the students. It was certainly hard for faculty. It was a big lift. And, you know, we're continuing to teach mostly online. Some of our classes have to have labs associated with them, and we can only bring in so many students into our laboratory to work with them. And so, you know, professionally, it was disruptive. Personally, it was disruptive as well. I went from, you know, driving to the university every day and taking part in what I consider my family, you know, the students, the faculty, the staff at the university. And suddenly I was alone at home and distant from friends and family and, you know, out there in line with people trying to figure out how to wear a mask, how to wear gloves. Well, I knew how to wear gloves, but trying to find toilet paper, trying to find sanitary, you know, products to clean door handles and things like that. And I had never in my life seen empty shelves in the grocery store. And it went from novel to really kind of concerning. And then, you know, for a while, just actually frightening that some people were rolling out of stores with, you know, tons and tons of food and other people were left with nothing. It was hard.
Certainly was. And I mean, I guess we all consider teachers to be leaders. Don't often think of them kind of going through the same process that all of us are going through. You have such a heavy responsibility of putting classes together in such a short amount of time.
I will tell you, Marcus, even though I'm a healthcare professional and I have, you know, provided care to people who've been very, very ill, I have found, you know, and I'm an occupational therapist, and I think by nature I'm very optimistic, and I think that people can have great quality of life no matter what their health status is. And even for me, you know, feeling like I have all the advantages in the world, I have a great job, I have, you know, great colleagues, I have a nice home, but I felt just my own emotional health, that was difficult. And I recognized that even though I've been trained to be resilient and, you know, to carry a lot, what other people are carrying is 10 times as hard. And yet they're doing it.
Yes, I imagine it's hard not to sympathize with the survey stories that you've heard so far.
Yeah, not just, you know, the sympathy, but the real empathy of connecting with people and really hearing and honoring those stories has probably been the biggest gift to me. And what I've learned from folks about what they have been through and what they can endure and almost what has been the bridge too far for some folks. And it's really been an honor to talk to people, you know, rich, poor, every ethnicity, gay, straight, you know, whoever. It's all of us New Mexicans being able to come together and support one another through the pandemic, but also to share our stories with each other.
Wonderful. And once again, how can our listeners share their stories with you?
Again, my phone number is 505-272-3324. And my email at cwilhite, I probably should spell that, W-I-L-H-I-T-E at salud.unm.edu.
Wonderful. And once again, we will make that available on our website. Carl, it's been great having you here with us today. Is there any parting messages you'd like to leave with our listeners?
Hang in there. I think, you know, we are seeing some light at the end of the tunnel. We do have a bit longer to go, but I know that the people that live in New Mexico are the best people. And I wouldn't want to be going through this with anybody else but the folks in our state.
Couldn't agree more. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you, Marcus.